Hi, welcome to another edition of the Pre-Hospital Care Research Forum podcast. My name is Dave Page. I'm a paramedic instructor at Inver Hills Community College. I'm here with
Marshall Washick, paramedic with Healthy's Medical Transportation here in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Dr. Aaron Burnett, I'm a pre-hospital medicine fellow with Regents Hospital EMS.
Josh Salzman, the director of our Critical Care Research Center at Regents in St. Paul.
And Dr. Keith Wesley, I'm the medical director here at Healthy's Medical Transportation in St. Paul.
We're going to review a study by Dr. Band and Associates. It appeared in SAEM, Society for Academic Emergency Medicine, February 2011, I believe. And the message here, the title is Injury-Adjusted Mortality of Patients Transported by Police Following Penetrating Trauma. So this is one of those headlines that you really like to look at, because basically what this says is it doesn't matter if the ambulance picks you up or the police car picks you up and takes you to the trauma center. There is no difference, is the message on the conclusion. It doesn't matter if the cops take you or the ambulance takes you. Now, to reach this conclusion, we're going to travel through a little bit of a journey and first scratch our heads and ask, wow, what's happening in Philadelphia? Great city, great EMS system, and apparently really fast police work that picks up the patients and takes them in.
Kudos to the cops for going hands-on with medical patients.
Yeah, really. And most people would run the other way. These guys take them, put them in the ambulance, put them in the squad car, and go. And it should be noted that there is no reference here, or there is actually discussion that no care occurs in the back of the squad car. So if the patient's bleeding to death, they're not going to get any kind of care that we know of, or that's at least it's been documented, and that there is no standard requirement for what kind of medical protocols the cops provide, other than just, you know, transportation. So,
but also, Dave, there's no protocol as to where they take the patients. And so my biggest concern at the get-go is that there's a selection bias in this study, because we're only looking at the patients with penetrating trauma brought to the level one trauma center.
Yes.
So 26% of their penetrating trauma was brought to their level one trauma center. But what percentage of penetrating trauma transported by PD went to a trauma center?
Yes, we
EMS
do not know that.
You can pretty much assume that they use their level one trauma center protocols, and that EMS follows those and brings it to the appropriate level of care. But they're very clear in stating that there is no written SOPs or protocols for law enforcement care of these patients.
It's very interesting. And juxtaposed to the paper that we had just reviewed regarding pre-hospital IV fluids and large databases in which we go in and kind of take a look at those patients, this particular piece, though a smaller database, is much cleaner. And I think really kind of gives us a little bit more of an insight into a better piece of research. And they found 2,127, so about 2,000 subjects were transported to this level one trauma center. So they're not dealing with multiple agencies. And in traditional research, you would say the research would be less strong, because other papers that deal with multiple agencies, so you can make better generalizations, might be better. But in this case, I like the fact that they just sort of stuck to what they knew they had good data for. And there aren't that many systems where the police actually would take a gunshot wound or any kind of trauma patient to the hospital.
I haven't heard of it ever.
Yeah, so it's rare, and I think at least in the practice, it's great that that Dr. Band and Associates are actually taking the time to figure out if this matters. Now, once we get past this, so there's a selection bias. It definitely is just about their trauma center, and we don't know what patients went where. It is current. We have, you know, this is data from 2003 to 2007. And that makes it a little bit more interesting to us. It's also interesting that if you look at the unadjusted injury severity score, so they look at whether they were transported by ambulance or by police car, and whether the injury severity score was, but what the number was it predictive of death or not? The cops ended up transporting sicker patients, and therefore, and maybe not therefore, but they, the numbers show sicker patients and more of them died. So what does that say? Does that say that more people die if they go by squad car? Well, not necessarily is what this paper says. If you start to adjust for the fact that the sicker patients went with the police car, then, and you just try and do an analysis, a mathematical analysis that says, gosh, if all things were equal, would they be equal? Then based on the mathematical model, in fact, things are equal. So let's talk a little bit about math. Don't everybody jump in at once.
Nobody wants to talk about math. That's unfortunate. Well, I think it's important to take a little bit of time and talk about how statistical analyses are done overall when you're looking at two groups and finding differences between them initially. So if you look on table one, you can see that you have some differences between the group of individuals who are transported by police and those who are transported by EMS. And the unadjusted analysis that Dave talked about is important to spend some time thinking about, because you really can come to some faulty conclusions if you don't look at true differences between groups. So we do know that the individuals who were transported by the police were more likely to be more severely injured, were also more likely to be younger, more likely to be male, and more likely to have a gunshot wound. So you've got some pretty sick individuals that the concept of just grabbing and going may feel emotionally compelling at the time. When you take all of those things and equalize them across groups from a statistical analysis perspective and only look at police transporting versus EMS transporting for patient, regardless of if you just kind of take the patient's factors out, you do end up with an equivalence there. So it does show that there really is no difference in survival across the two groups. So it can be a mixed message. I think the difficulty is understanding when to start being worried when you see adjustments and when those go against what you feel are emotionally correct. And that's the part where it takes some time and some expertise from others that have more expertise probably than even we do in this room to talk about the adjustment when it comes to the math piece.
Thank you for that mathematical summary. I think it makes us all real nervous when we see, well, EMS really doesn't much matter. It didn't matter that that these people got put in a squad car and loaded in, and it makes us think twice about, well, what's happening with the EMS cases. And I would have loved to know if what the scene times were for these EMS cases.
And I think another good point is, what's the distance to the hospital? I think it would be hard. Any of us would be hard pressed to argue about putting a patient in the back of a squad car if you're two or three blocks from the hospital with a transport time of 60 to 70 seconds, lights and sirens, versus being on the other side of the city where you could potentially have time to do life-saving interventions like a needle thoracostomy or an intubation or direct pressure, apply a tourniquet to an arterial bleed. The proximity to the hospital is key, and this is an urban environment where it's very realistic to think that they could be seconds to a very few minutes from a hospital if you put the patient in the squad car. And as a physician, that would be reasonable to me. If you're 60 to 90 to 120 seconds from a hospital, put any patient in the back of a squad car and drive fast. You'll get to definitive care.
I think it's also interesting to think about where you were shot. So, you know, that may have tremendous implications as to whether or not the Philadelphia EMS system could make an impact on your outcome. So, you know, if you're shot in the leg, that's one thing. And who knows, maybe some of these police officers are well-trained to put a tourniquet on, and they can do that. It's just that we don't know that for sure, and they're not it's not part of the protocol. So, who knows where they were, what where they're injured, and whether or not it makes sense or not.
I have a question, and it might be a silly one, but, you know, since they really didn't find any difference across the board between PD and EMS transporting, I would like to know how many
in mortality.
Or sorry, mortality.
Because we don't know about the differences that could exist, say in rates of admission, rates of infection,
sure,
in other significant outcomes.
Right, but my question is how many people? I mean, because you brought up the statement that, well, it's scary to think that EMS doesn't make a difference, but can we really draw that conclusion from this study? Because how do we know how many people are actually saved because they were transported by PD versus saved because they were transported by EMS?
Well, and if all we were and all we looked at, all they looked at in this particular study is mortality. So
right. So that's my question: is, you know, is it, would it be more reasonable to look at that versus just, well, throw them in the squad and it doesn't matter because they'll survive.
Yeah.
And the other question is, what are these patients dying of? Are they dying from intra-abdominal bleeding, which you can't do much for pre-hospital? You can't do much in the ED either. Are they dying from tension pneumothorax or extremity extravasations? Those are things that we can very quickly control in the back of an ambulance, at least temporize, that need treatment that you're not going to get in the back of a squad car. And if you develop a tension pneumo and someone doesn't decompress that, you're going to die. Same thing with a brachial artery bleed. If someone doesn't compress that, put a tourniquet on it, then you're going to die. And so I'd be very interested to see, what are these patients dying of, the ones who are transported by EMS versus the ones that were transported by police? Because if people are dying in the back of squad cars from tension pneumos and compressible extremity injuries, that would influence my opinion of the overall outcome and conclusions.
Well, you're exactly right, Aaron, and that's that's where the large significant difference between the two populations, particularly if we just want to, if anything, because there was that gunshot wounds were the single mechanism of injury that was statistically significant between the two. But again, they don't define, what's gunshot wound? Mm-hmm. One shot, two shots, three shots.
To the head, to the torso,
right.
To the arm, to the hand.
In the trauma severity score, you don't get extra points for extra shots. If you have a gunshot wound to the chest, it's the same score. But if you got four gunshot wounds to the chest, it's still the same trauma TRIS score. But yet you and I know that four shots to the chest has a significantly higher likelihood of dying. And so maybe, this study is a great start. But to really make a determination, particularly if you're talking about creating policy, then you need to drill down on the fact that, 88% of the PD patients had gunshot wounds. All right, well, let's now just look at that group and talk about single gunshot wounds, multiple gunshot wounds, large caliber, small caliber, extremity versus proximal injury, and look at that, because somewhere somebody has to come up with a policy statement on what's appropriate to place in the back of the PD, and then again bring back the issue of time and distance to the trauma center.
I think we also need to get back to, we keep measuring EMS by our procedures, and I think that's a mistake. I think that part of our, we've learned over the years that part of our value added is that the paramedic on the scene is going to make a better assessment, as would an EMT on the scene, of where these patients would get better treatment. And so it isn't just about the interventions we might perform, but it's about the decision to go to the level one trauma center versus the closest hospital. And I think we're missing a big piece of the puzzle here if we don't know, if the officer decides, boy, there's a hospital just down the road, it might be a level two, three, we don't know, it might be a community hospital, and they decide, there, if we can just get them there, the doctors will save them there, but there's no ability to do surgery. Sometimes maybe that's the right thing to do, sometimes it's not, and that value added that EMS offers is to sort of try and figure out, this is a gunshot wound to the hand, and it even though it has an injury severity score that's maybe higher because of that, it doesn't require a level one trauma center. But then again, maybe it does because it needs care that requires specialty care, a certain kind of plastic surgery or whatever. So I applaud these folks for taking this on, especially in the face of a system that appears to be at least historically for the last 20 years, allowing untrained police officers to scoop and run. And I'm reminded of a study years ago that compared spinal injuries in, I think, Haiti, wasn't it? It was a French-speaking country where they just basically compared the outcomes of spinally, potentially blunt trauma patients, potentially spinally injured, and compared the difference between an ambulance and just getting a ride in a car. And they found no difference in that study either.
Well, and or even the Callahan, the classic Callahan study, which talked about that they showed in their study that the gangbangers that got shot up and were rolled out the door by the drive-through car and just dropped them off the ER, that they did better than the ones that waited for EMS. So, you know, you can draw your conclusions from their statistics, but sometimes you have to drill down, I think, more specifically to get the clinical answers that you need to write good policy.
Excellent. Well, thanks again for tuning in, and we'll hear you, or you'll hear us next time.